Well, good morning. We're starting a new series this term together this morning. And to help us with that, we're going to turn, first of all, to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and a short reading taken from that first chapter. So if you find a Bible near you, if you're able to, we're at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 first of all, and then a few verses from verse 26. So verse 1 says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then from verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." What does it mean to be human? I wonder how you'd answer that question. What does it mean to be human? We're going over the next few weeks to try and grapple with some of the big questions that are coming our way in society and culture, the big ethical questions. What does it mean to be human when it comes to think about matters of life and death? What does it mean to be human when we consider matters of gender? What does it mean to be human when we consider matters of sexuality? Well, today is the starting point. That's why we've gone right back to the beginning in Genesis. But actually, we're going to focus on a picture that is used throughout the Bible, picture language, a metaphor for what it is to be human. This picture, this metaphor is best stated to us in Isaiah chapter 64, and I've got it here on the screen for us to see. Isaiah the prophet says this: "We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the works of your hand." We're going to see from this picture two things to try and hold on to this morning about what it means to be human. Two things. The first is this: we are the clay. God is the potter. The Bible begins with this big point. First words in the Bible that I just read just now. In the beginning, God created. He is the maker. He is the starter, the instigator, the designer. He is the potter. Our problem is that we quickly forget or move on or deny that that is true. So earlier in Isaiah, in chapter 29, we read these words. This is what we tend to do. We turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like clay. We deny God's position and inflate our position. But to show how wrong this is, Isaiah says, well, it's a bit like the pot speaking back to the potter. It's a bizarre image. It wouldn't happen if you were working with some clay and suddenly it started talking to you. You'd be a bit freaked out at that point. But he says it's a bit like that. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? Well, this is what we can be like. We try to break free from God being our maker. We perhaps deny that he even exists. We deny that everything is his design. We deny that he owns everything. Who knows the story of Pinocchio? We remember Pinocchio particularly because of his nose, don't we? The lies that he told and the nose that grew. But actually in the original story, there was something else that was even more important going on that the writer of Pinocchio wanted to get across. This is from Wikipedia, so it must be true. And you can find this written down. In the original tale, Collodi describes him as a rascal, an imp, a scapegrace, a disgrace, a ragamuffin, and confirmed rogue. With even his father, carpenter Geppetto, referring to him as a wretched boy. Upon being born, Pinocchio immediately laughs derisively in his creator's face, whereupon he steals the old man's wig. Pinocchio's bad behavior, rather than being charming or endearing, is meant to serve as a warning. Collodi originally intended the story, which was first published in 1881, to be a tragedy. It concluded with the puppet's execution. Not quite the Disney version, is it? But his original intention when he wrote that story in the 1800s was to say, look, there's something really wrong. If something created turns on or thinks it knows better than its creator, there's something deeply wrong. That is a tragedy. Not a heartwarming cartoon piece of Saturday afternoon entertainment. A tragedy. And there's a danger we can be like Pinocchio, not with our noses growing longer, but in rejecting our Creator, in saying we know best. Isaiah picks up this theme again. Chapter 45, where we can read this. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Those who are nothing but potsherds. That's like pieces of pottery. Among the pieces of pottery on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? Woe to those is a warning, isn't it? It's a warning of impending judgment. You will be in trouble, just like Pinocchio in the original story. Again, the direction here is to try and throw off our maker, dismiss our maker. Say, we know better than our maker. Say, he didn't know what he's doing, if he even existed. Now, as we start to consider some of these big ethical issues over the coming weeks, we must listen to the potter. What does he say? What are his intentions for us? We need to do this even if all the other clay pots are saying differently. And even if, as a clay pot, I think I know best. The Bible tells us we have a potter. We have a maker. We must listen to him. One of the dangers we might fall into is thinking, well, we know this. Everyone else needs to hear this. Yeah, that's always a danger. You're ever in a sermon and you start thinking, someone else needs to hear this. Beware. Always think, this is for me. What do I need to hear? Well, we all struggle with this. We all struggle with the fact that God is our maker and we're the clay. Now, there's times in life where we're happy with that.
When we're struggling, when we don't know what to do, and we're glad there's a potter, there's a maker, we turn towards him, we perhaps pray a bit more. But when we think we know what to do, when we think we've got things under control, well, we don't want to remember that we're clay, because that's, well, a bit insulting, isn't it? A bit demeaning, a bit restrictive. Now, we all fall short in this way. The heart of sin is denying or quarrelling with our Maker, saying, I know best. I made myself. We've all this past week denied or quarrelled with our Maker in different ways. Left him out, forgotten him, gone against what he wanted. But being human is to remember we are the clay. God is the potter. Now we have some help. Jesus Christ, who lived on earth, showed us what it is to be human. The perfect human. What was his relationship like with God? Well, we get a particular insight just before his arrest. He was in a garden, Gethsemane. He was praying. He knew that something terrible was going to happen soon. He was on his knees in anguish. But he said to his Father, yet not what I will, but what you will. You are the potter, I am the clay. We're the clay, God is the potter. Secondly, we see this. We are all the work of God's hands. First point was about our status. We're clay, God is potter. Second point is about our value. We're all the work of his hands. You ever watched The Antique Roadshow? I guess some of you have. There was an episode on the American version of The Antique Roadshow a couple of years ago where a pot was brought into the show. You know how it works? Somebody finds something in an attic or a garage and they take it in and say, you know, has this got any value? And here was this pot, this jug made of clay, sort of had ugly faces on either side of it. And the expert took hold of it, looked at it, started to get quite excited. It looked like something that Picasso might have made. They get to the important point of the show. What's the value? £35,000. I think back then when it was made, it was something like $50,000. The jug. Wow. You know, imagine the person who's brought it in. This old jug. From the garage. Well, it's shown on television. £35,000. Someone recognises it. Not Picasso. It was made in the 1970s in a school project. The value suddenly plummets. Where's the value come from? It comes from the maker, doesn't it? If it's Picasso, it's worth £35,000. And Isaiah says, we're all clay, but we're made by the potter. Who's the potter? Not Picasso. Better than Picasso. God. That mark, that stamp, that value. We all have that value. Been thinking of that quite helpfully this morning, haven't we? We're all different in different ways, but we all fundamentally have the same value. Made by the potter. We're all the work of his hands. That gives us a sense of value. It should also give us a sense of belonging. I don't know if you've watched the Toy Story films, but Woody has a certain mark on him, under his boots. The name of Andy. He belongs to Andy. Toy Story 3, there's great struggles for Woody, this toy cowboy. Does Andy love him? Is he letting him go, passing him on? there under his boot. That sense of belonging. I belong to God. He made me. I am the work of his hands. And now that gives us hope, but it also ought to give us a struggle. Because for all of us here, there's stuff about me that isn't right. There's stuff about me that's not as it should be. Why? Well, someone called Job in the Bible struggled with this. This is in Job chapter 10. Listen to what he says. He'd gone through great suffering. At this time he was physically suffering. He'd also lost people and possessions from his family, from his wealth. Physically now he was in agony. And he's grappling with this, with God. He says, your hand shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me with cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You gave me life and showed me kindness and in your providence watched over my spirit. It's grappling with God. God is the potter. He's made me. Then why am I struggling? Why am I suffering? Why is life like this? Why is my body the way it is? Why is my mind the way it is? I think what Job says here, articulates here, is really helpful to us. He's not denying God's existence. He's not trying to throw off God's ownership. He's not wanting to strike out for independence. He's not listening to all the other pots around him saying there is no God, there is no potter. No, he's grappling with the potter. Why? What's gone wrong? Why is this happening? At our small groups this week coming up, we're going to look a bit more at that particular topic. Why is life like it is? What has the impact of Genesis chapter 3 had on us today? The hardship we face, the suffering there is, the impacts of the fall on our world, on our bodies, on our hearts. Well, that's a huge topic. But the rest of the Bible shows us enough that God does still care. In the midst of our suffering and our struggle, he cares. Through the Lord Jesus, he's come to do something that means that life won't always be like this. He's given us and offers us something better for the future. Our last passage we're going to look at that picks up the whole potter clay idea says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now you could get lost in that verse. What does that mean? God has shown us something brilliant through Jesus. God has done for us something brilliant through Jesus. That's what it means. David mentioned earlier, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. God has done something brilliant through Jesus. And we have this treasure, but still as jars of clay. We're still vulnerable. We still struggle. We're not perfect yet. But we have the treasure now. We can see enough through Jesus now. It's offered to all of us, all with the same value. Do you know what God has done for you in Jesus? Do you know what God offers you through Jesus? Do you know what the future might hold because of Jesus? Treasure. We have this treasure now in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We can't save ourselves. We're pots. We're clay. But there is a potter. He's designed us. He's made us. From him we can find meaning and purpose. We have a potter. We have value. We have a sense of belonging. And because of his work through the Lord Jesus, we have a future. A future where we'll be perfect pots that will last for eternity in a perfect world. How we long for that day. Through Jesus, it's ours. So let's end with that verse from Isaiah. What is it to be human? Do you know this morning? We are clay. You are the potter. Will you humble yourself before God this morning and acknowledge he's in charge? He's God. You're not. But maybe feeling vulnerable, maybe wondering what's going on. Maybe you need to hear the second line. We are all the works of your hands. Every single one of us. Your value lies because of that stamp of the Maker. To be human is to be made in the image of God, made by God. We are all the works of your hand. Let's have a moment of quiet just to reflect, and then I'll lead us in a prayer in a moment. Our Father God, we acknowledge this morning that without you we wouldn't be here. Not speaking literally of here in this building at this time and place, but in existence. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you, you the potter. Help us to acknowledge that this week. Help us to look to you to find out more of our meaning and purpose. And Father, thank you for the reminder this morning that we all have value. Value because of who made us. And greater value because of what you've given us through Jesus. Help us to understand and grab hold of that treasure. Of that promised future. When all that we struggle with now will be over. All the imperfections now will be refined, renewed, made perfect. We none of us deserve this. And so we thank you for the Lord Jesus. So help us to go from here this morning, hearing what we need to hear. Either to humble ourselves before you, or to receive from you the smile of our Maker, to know our value, our worth in your sight. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.